Living beyond fear. And so over the next three Sundays, we hope to simply be reminded of what God's word says to us concerning three areas that so often trip us up: fear, comfort, and vulnerability. And so as we kick this off this morning, I have invited Isabel and Alex to read the scripture for us. I don't know about you, but there is something, the word comes to me differently when I hear it through the voice of a young person. And so they're going to read the same text, but Isabel is going to read 1 John 4:14-21. 1 John 4:14-21, and she's reading the NRSV version. And because John, sometimes his words just sound so circular, you know, you can kind of get lost in it. Alex is going to read the Message paraphrase. And so I invite Isabel to come and read for us this morning. Amen.
So our scripture today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on this day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts our fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever's fear has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us.
This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son and Savior as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son and participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well, we've embraced it, heart and soul. This love that comes from God, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and matures in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love or fear for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are not going to love. We though are going to love, love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and taking in of God's word. Let us pray. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, Lord God, this morning, how grateful we are that you are here. You're present among us, in us, within us. And so, Lord, this morning, speak, Lord, for your people are listening. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. Amen. Fear. There is something that John the Apostle, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is addressing in our text today. John is saying something about how we confront the fear and anxiety that is so much a part of life in this uncertain and fragile world in which we live. For many of us, fear and uncertainty, anxiety and dread, they are a part of our everyday life. These feelings and experiences are something that's always lurking, always simmering, always like a low-grade fever just below the surface. Does it sound too good to be true that God's saving grace offers us true and lasting freedom from fear and anxiousness? Fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. This is the tagline from the movie The Shawshank Redemption. Anybody seen that movie? It's a movie that fairly sums up, that line fairly sums up the New Testament view of fear. Fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. In the movie, for those of you who have not seen it, one of the characters is Brooks Hatlin, and he has spent most of his life wasting away in prison from a reckless act of violence he committed as a teenager. At one point in the film, after some 40 years of incarceration, Brooks is finally released and set free. But there's a problem. Brooks has forgotten how to live free. He's become institutionalized. His new life on the outside scares him. It scares him to death every day. And he's become so accustomed to life behind bars that now without it, he lives in fear. He thinks about ways to violate his parole so he can get back in that prison cell. And eventually he takes his own life because he just can't handle the uncertainty and the vulnerability of life on the outside. In a letter back to his former cellmates, he writes this. He says, "It's a terrible thing to live in fear." As God's people on this journey, as people in process, it sometimes feels like we become institutionalized by the ways of the world. I don't know about you, but one of my greatest challenges has been this journey, this process of learning to live free. To live free in the liberty and the abundance that comes with this new life in Jesus Christ. I find my freedom in Jesus sometimes constrained by imagined limitations shaped by fear. One of my friends was guardian over these three little girls for about 8 months. And the first month that she had them, I kept the three little girls one night. And one of the things that she would do is she would let them have phone privileges when they were good. She would let them play, you know, with the apps and watch videos on her iPhone. And I was there keeping them, and the little three-year-old says to me, she sits down beside me, I have my phone, and she says, she can't say privileges, so she says, "I don't have phone privileges." So I say, "I do." So she says, "You do?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Who gave them to you?" I said, "I gave them to myself." She said, You did? Yes. I'm an adult. I can do that. And so every time I would see her, she would tell me she didn't have phone privileges. And finally, about 6 months in, they were over at my house and my friend was there. And so she says to me again, she doesn't have phone privileges. And I say to my friend, I said, why does she never have phone privileges? She seems like a pretty good little girl, but her sisters who were always in trouble, they never had privileges. So she says, she has privileges. When she says, I don't have privileges, she's trying to tell you she does have privileges. And so it was like, I thought about that. I said, I think that's kind of like how we live. Like we have these privileges, but we live like, I don't have life privileges. But we do have privileges. Fear comes to us and it comes on so many different levels. We fear for our safety, our physical safety. Some fear getting too close to people. And as a result, fear emotional vulnerability. They fear putting their hearts on the line for fear that they might be rejected, that love that is offered may not be reciprocated. We fear being hurt or disappointed. Sometimes we experience fear out of a deep love for others, like a fear like when we send our kids off to school for the first time. And the truth is, in today's world, when we send our kids off to school every day, you know, our society seems to be driven by fear. It gets piped in through the TVs, through the internet. We fear what others might do to us every time we see a news report of someone being harmed. It just simply feeds our low-grade fears. And so how does fear evidence itself in your life? How does it show up? I grew up a fearful child. I couldn't sleep with open doors. I even I would go and look in the closet. And I knew the closet was empty, but I couldn't sleep with the closet door open. I couldn't sleep with the bedroom door open, so I would sleep with the pillow and the blanket over my head. And to this day, I still sleep that way because it comforts me from my imaginary fears. But the truth of the matter is, it is not God's will that we live in fear. God has something to say to us about fear. God knows that fear is something that is so prolific in our human condition. The Bible has well over 300 verses that speak about fear. And throughout the Bible, we find these admonitions: fear not, be not afraid, be not anxious. And what I love, if you go and anytime you see that, you'll also hear God saying something that says like, this is why you should not be afraid. Fear not, for the Lord, your God, is with you. Fear not. Fear not, for the Lord your God upholds you. For the Lord cares for you. Psalm 34 says that I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. What a wonderful promise. What a soothing comfort that God delivers us from our fears. But there is this really interesting biblical tension if we tell the truth. Because on the one hand, the Bible says that fears go away when we seek the Lord, right? Y'all read it? I'm not the only one, right? But throughout the Bible, we see God showing up and we see people becoming afraid. Remember what happened when the disciples encountered Jesus walking on water or in the midst of the storm? They were paralyzed by fear. When Jesus calls you to get out of the boat and walk on the water and launch into the deep, it can be, oh, scary is an understatement. It can be terrifying. Oh, it can be something like when we think about what it is for God to break in and make her presence known powerfully in our lives. You know what happens. You've been there. You ask the questions like, will I survive? Who will go with me? Will I have to walk alone? What is God going to ask of me? Will I say yes? Will I say yes all the way? Will I ever be the same? And so how do we reconcile John's words? There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. What exactly did John mean when he suggested that a life at rest in God is incompatible with fear? Surely John is not talking about our normal, natural fears, you know, our protective fears. He's not talking about fear in the sense of respect and reverence of God. The context of John's words to us this morning is the issue of what we might call fears of perspective. Or another way of saying this, fears that have to do with our failure to see God and to see ourselves correctly. It's about failure to live into who God is and failure to live into what is real and what is true. Failure of perspective. These fears that hit at the heart of our identity and our confidence and our esteem. Fear. Fear. Like if we don't know who we are and whose we are, then fear is a normal and expected result. See, when we both identify, we have our identity and our confidence and who we are living for, that we are rooted in Christ, our source, then the level of fear is always directly linked to our level of trust. When our mind is overrun with fear, when the internal chatter, y'all know about the internal chatter, you know all them voices that are sitting in there saying, you can't do that, who you think you are? Who told you you could be all that? Who said that to you? Who do you think you are? Don't you see they are looking at you? Don't you know what they're saying? They are judging you. When our mind is overactive and running crazy, we can always track it down to three things. A failure to remember who we are in Christ and the power that we have in Christ. It is a failure to remember the truth of 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. See, we become overrun with fear when we waver and we're shaky in our trust in God's willingness to provide. My struggle to trust doesn't have to do with God's ability. It has to do with me saying, like, God, I know you can do it, but will you do it for me? God, I know that you're able to meet every need, but God, will you meet my need? And it's like, God, and can I trust you, Lord? I'm doubting if you'll meet my need on time. See, finally, we find ourselves overrun by fear when we've not been exercising the discipline. And y'all, it is a discipline. They call it a discipline because it is work to fill our minds and our hearts with the truth of God. When we have to fill our mind and our heart, we have to command. It's work to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to command your word, God. I'm going to take hold of your word. I'm going to stand on your word. I don't care what the storms are doing, God. I'm going to stand on your word. And it's a work to say that I will hold on and choose the assurances like those found in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Oh, or to wake up in the morning and tell yourself again that, oh, but my God shall supply all my needs according to what? His riches in Christ Jesus. Somebody been commanding the word up in here. Oh, I'm telling you that John contrasts this fearful way of life with another way of life, the life we're really meant to live. It's a life that's characterized by confidence, a God confidence instead of fear. And he uses this foundational word, love. Preacher and theologian William Sloan Coffin said that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. I know a little bit about that. I know about that because I've shared with some of you that I grew up in a hellfire brimstone church. And in case you don't know what that is, let me help you understand it. The God my pastor presented was a God who was always angry. Oh, he was angry with us. God was always in a bad mood. God was disgusted with us. God was always threatening to smite and to smote. It was no wonder I would be terrified to go to church. I was a scaredy cat. No wonder I was afraid to leave the doors open. My fear of God went so far beyond reverence and respect. I went to church out of fear. I prayed out of fear. I lived out of fear. And basically, I tried to stay out of God's way. I said, God, I'm just going to try to like let you handle that over there. And I'm going to live kind of timid like this. And if you don't see me, everything will be all right. I don't need your wrath coming down on me. The truth of the matter is that this type of fear, it not only hinders and distorts our relationship with God, it distorts our ability to see ourselves, and it distorts our ability to relate well to other people. But somebody say praise God this morning. Praise God that that's not the end of the story. See, because about 15 years ago, I had another pastor, Pastor Robert Stevens, who has gone on to glory. And Pastor Stevens introduced me to experiencing God. And experiencing God broke me open. And it broke me open because in that study, I was simply floored. Floored by this understanding that God wanted to have an intimate, up close and personal relationship with me. That God wanted to be all up in it. I was like, where in the world have I been? I've been in church all my life. I've been singing in the choir. Hey, I've been showing up. I've been serving on committees. Why didn't I know God loved me? I was like, have I been asleep? Have I been tuning out? What in the world has happened? And I will tell you that it was something about like, God loved me. And it was like right now. It was like, God loved me right. I was a mess. I was talking to a friend last week and I was trying to tell her some of my story I've never told anybody. You can't tell everybody your story. And I finally just had to conclude it and say, my friend Leah, I said, Leah, I was a mess. I was a mess. And so God broke in through that story to say God wanted to love me and be in a relationship with me, to be all up in it in the midst of my mess. And everything changed, my ears and my heart, my way of reading scripture, my way of relating to others, the way of relating to myself changed. Love broke in. And love broke me down, and love brought me back. Somebody in this place needs to know that the love of God will bring you back. When God's love really fills us, we move from fear to love. And we move from a love to a blessed assurance that we are no longer chained by a punitive God. That love that gives us a confidence that we know that we know that we know that we belong to God and God has claimed us. And that no matter what happens, God is with us and God is for us. And I love the words in Romans. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, the things that we fear, shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution or famine, shall nakedness or peril or sword. And then I love what he says with a deep assurance, I am sure, I am certain that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things past nor things to come, no powers, hallelujah, nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, hallelujah. That's the good news this morning. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. Nothing. Nothing. And so, Park Avenue this morning, how do you get to this place? How do we continue on this journey, moving forward and rising and maturing into who God has created us to be? How do we get to this place of living beyond our fears? And so John, in God's word, simply answers and says, we let ourselves be filled with God's perfect love. And when we do, fear has to hit the road, Jack. fear has to take a back seat and love comes in and takes over the house. It's not about forcing fear out of our lives. It's not about having a positive mental attitude, even though that don't hurt y'all. It's much better than a negative one. Oh, it's about opening up our hearts to this free-flowing stream of God's love. It's about leaning into the love of God. A love that will shape you and a love that will define you. It's God's perfect love. God's perfect love. What in the world is that? To somebody, I was like, what is that? It's this word, y'all. And we got to understand when we say perfect, it's this word that comes from that translation, telios. Y'all know that word is like finished. It's like, it's that word. It doesn't mean flawless, but it means like fulfilling its purpose. It's like God's love that does what it's intended to do. It's like Eugene Peterson saying that it's like God's perfect love. It's a well-formed love. It's like when you love, when the most powerful part of yourself is fully captured by God and released from the values of this world, then love gets shaped in you. Love gets formed in you. It's like finding yourself like a jagged rock, a well-formed love. And it's like the flowing water, like the water of the baptism that washes over you. And it keeps washing over you. And it keeps washing over you and washing over you. And every time it washes over you, it smooths off a jagged piece until what is left is a smooth, polished stone. That's what it's like. It's like leaning in and letting God have God's way. There's this story about a little child who was given a jack in the box for Christmas, and his parents thought it was a lovely toy, and they wound the little thing up and the thing popped out and the child was terrified. But the child didn't stop there. The child pushed the top down and wound the thing up again, and the puppet popped out, and the little child leaned in and kissed the puppet. That's what it's like. The little child was learning, said, in the midst of my fear, I'm going to put fear in its proper place. And maybe that's what John is saying to us. John is saying that the emphasis is that love has to be in its proper place. God loved us first. This is how much God loved us. That God loved us so much, you and me, that he gave his only son. Why did he do that? So that no one need be destroyed. That in sending him, that God would no longer just point an accusing finger, no smiting and smoting, telling us how bad we were, to leave us gripped in fear, but that God would send his son to help us, that the world, even our internal world, would be made right again. It begins with God. It's all grace. God loves us and God pours his gift of love in us, and the stronghold of fear gets broken. And so this morning, I just pray, my prayer for you, especially in this summer where it's supposed to be slower and easy. This summer, I pray this summer that you would just slow down and you would lean in to this love. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, I would just pray that the Lord would strengthen you by his Spirit. I would pray that the Lord would strengthen you, not with a brute strength, but with this glorious inner strength. Oh, that Christ would live in you as you open the door and you let him in. That you let him into the whole house, y'all, not just the front room. Let him into the back room and into the closets. And I ask God that with both feet firmly planted in love, that you would be able to take in with this extravagant dimension of Christ's love, that you would reach out and experience the breath, that you would risk leaning in to test the lengths of God's love, that you would lean in to plumb the depths, that even if you have to do it afraid, that you would rise to the heights that are available and present in God's love, that you would be full into the fullness of God until you're able to say, in the words of the psalmist, the Lord is for me. Who can be against me? What can mere people do to me? Oh, I don't know about you, but my testimony, My testimony this morning is that it was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Oh, this morning, I love this verse. It says, the Lord has promised good to me. Oh, it says his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. I'm going to live beyond fear. Are you going to live beyond fear this morning? Are you going to lean into the love that is present and available to you? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. 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 Amen.